Children are invited to go to their class right now. I knew there was something funny with Dr. Angotti's email when he sent me somebody sent me a brief email asking for my Amazon and PayPal accounts. So I said he would never do anything like that. So we're thankful for those who watch over us on that. Luke chapter 2 this morning, I want to ask and try to answer the question, why the shepherds? Why the shepherds? If you don't have a copy of God's Word, see me at the end. We'll make sure you get a Bible to take home with you. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this morning. We're just test driving that for a little while, and glad you're here. All right. Lord, just guide our thoughts this morning, and thank you for this opportunity we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Like many of you, we were casually planning in the fall of 1980 who would get that first phone call when Sutter baby number one would arrive at Baylor Hospital in Dallas, Texas. I remind my son every now and then, you know, you are a Texan. Who would get that first phone call? Well, our parents and our siblings would get that first phone call. Our pastor, we were very close to him, he would get that first phone call. Our Dallas Bible College and Dallas Seminary friends, even the president would get that announcement. Faculty members, and later on my wife designed her own postcard and mailed it to everyone we knew with the good news. Today what would happen? There'd be a group text, there'd be a Facebook announcement, but there was an important choice as to who would we tell first. And the persons on the top of the list indicated that what? They were very, very important, right? First come, first serve. I believe when God the Father went to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he told those who were most important to him, or he wanted to make a statement. He did the same thing. And God was very specific as to who would get the call when Jesus was born. And if you're thinking about this, I want you to notice for a moment who was not on that call first list. By the way, who wasn't on that first call list, God's list, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Who was not on the list? Let me check that off. Yeah. Yeah, right. Herod was not on the list. Who else was not on the list? The devil, yeah, I didn't have that one. The devil wasn't on the list, okay. Who? Caesar wasn't on the list. Religious leaders were not on the list. High priest was not on the list. You know, even the surrounding kings and dignitaries were not on the list. The angel appeared to none of the above that you just mentioned. It's very odd, kind of strange. You know, who was on that first call list? Who got the first call? The shepherds. We know that because we know the Christmas story, but that is very odd, it's strange, it's unique that the first humans on the call list were the shepherds. And you know what? The shepherds responded. I want to read through the Word of God with you this morning, and then I want to give you five observations as we try to ask and answer that question, why the shepherds? Why the shepherds? Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8 through verse 20, it says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, what? What did the angel say? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom his favor is pleased, with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. and all who heard them wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart, and verse 20 tells us, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. A lot of truth here. Let me give you five quick observations, okay? Number one, and you know all these, all right? You know all these. Number one, I believe these verses teach us an important perspective, very important perspective that we need to keep. God delights to work through weak vessels. God delights to work through weak vessels. We see that all through the Bible, don't we? He decided from Genesis to Revelation, work through Moses, and the list goes on and on and on. And by the way, the angels must have been thoroughly amazed when they witnessed the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, being born as a speechless baby. God delights to work through weak vessels. We need to remind ourselves that God has never been impressed, like we're often impressed, by strong, rich, mighty people. We are. I am, because we live in a celebrity culture. How many get excited when you run to a celebrity? My son pastors up in a New York area. He gets to New York City, and he'll tell me every now and then. You know, he'll run into all kinds of celebrities. He ran into Dexter a while ago. Well, you know, I don't want to run into Dexter. Yeah, he ran into Dexter, the guy who plays Dexter. We're living in that celebrity culture. We're living in an academic and political culture, and we're impressed with power people. I am. I shouldn't be. I got a call from a rock star pastor one night. I couldn't believe on my phone. I couldn't believe that. I got all excited to tell my wife she's not impressed because she could care less. She could care less. I texted the lead singer with Earth, Wind, and Fire once, Philip Bailey, and he wrote back. I said, what Bible studies are you in? And he told me he listened to R.C. Sproul and Alistair Begg. Yeah, I was impressed. Sue was not. I want you to notice how God passed over all the elites, all the power people, all the politicians and the celebrities of that day, and sovereignly announced the birth to unknown shepherds. And by the way, if you know anything about shepherds, and that was a great video, shepherds were often thought to be thieves. They were considered to be ceremonially unclean. They were smelly. They were thought to be ignorant. They were not considered credible legal witnesses. You wouldn't want to hang around them. And yet, you know what the Word of God does? The Word of God takes something that is despised by most people and elevated it, because God delights to work through weakness. The symbol of God himself is a shepherd. Abraham, Moses, David, and other great men were shepherds. Jesus called himself the great shepherd, right? And today, New Testament leaders are called shepherds. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll read some verses here. Verse 26 through 29, Paul has to remind the church not to think too highly of themselves because God delights in weakness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Here it is. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. I didn't give Tim this verse to project, but listen to what James had to say. You know, James, pretty blunt at times, all the time. James is blunt. And he saw in the church, when the church was meeting, the important, quote-unquote, important people were getting treated better than the common people. And James chapter 2, verse 5 says this, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? Of course. And then James goes on to blast them for treating the rich people with favoritism. That's an important lesson. God delights to work through weak vessels like you and me. Imperfect, frail, unknown, unimportant. Why? So he will get the glory. And Paul said that. He said, God's glory, God's strength is perfected through human weakness. Dr. Evans is going to talk about that next hour a little bit. There's a second lesson here, and it's a little different, and we'll dig into the text a little bit. Second observation is this. It's the importance of hearing well. The importance of hearing well. The promises of Christmas. We read a little bit from Matthew's gospel this morning, but let me read a couple verses from Matthew chapter 2, where people listened, but they didn't hear. All right, they listened, but they failed to hear, and there is a difference, right? How many times did we get in trouble? I can say that. She's not here. How many times did we get in trouble because, you know, we think we're listening to our wives, but we don't hear a word they're saying? Or is it just me? Listen to this. Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, these are Gentiles, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now everybody listen to this. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people. Who are they? Those were the religious experts. The ones who knew the word of God inside out. All right? He inquired of them, Herod inquired of the religious experts, where the Christ was to be born. And without batting an eyelash, they said in verse 5, they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets. They listened, did they not? They didn't hear a word he said. Why? If they would have really heard, they would have done something about it. If you see visitors from the east coming and asking where the Messiah is going to be born, they did nothing about it. Go over to Luke chapter 2 again. Back to Luke chapter 2. In verse 15, it says, the shepherds heard and went to see for themselves. Verse 15, when the angel went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to you. In verse 17, it says the shepherds not only listened, they heard, they spread the message, and in verse number 20, they worshiped and praised God. They heard well. They heard well. So did Mary, so did Joseph. Luke is telling us, I think, and maybe he's being subtle here, Luke is telling us about the importance of hearing well, and hearing well includes obeying the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I wrote some admonitions down here. I wrote on my notes, beware, we need to beware of being too distracted by the quality or imperfection of the messenger. It's the message that counts. We need to beware of too many messages. Sometimes, and I love the internet, I love YouTube, I love that we have accessibility to anybody 24 hours a day, but sometimes we can hear so many good messages on the radio that we get numb. We don't hear. We don't end up obeying. We have a lot of the times WDAC playing in the house, and we hear some of the finest Bible teachers out there, and some of the ones still are with the Lord, they still play the recordings. And it's easy to say, well, that was a good one, that was a good one, that was a great point, and never obey anything we're being told. Beware of not hearing. Here's another one for you. Beware of not hearing the word of God because it comes to us in non-spectacular means. Perhaps if you were around in those days and you heard the word of God from a shepherd, you wouldn't want to listen to it because of the way it would come to you. It didn't come in the form of an angel. And beware of boring messages. This is an interesting one. Beware of boring messages that are true. We like exciting communication, but sometimes some of the messages we're hearing are not exciting, but what they're saying is important. And you need to be careful of listening to what is true, no matter what the messenger is like. And I wonder back here in Luke 2, how many missed out on the Christmas message because they listened, but they didn't hear well. They didn't hear well. They disregard the shepherds. These shepherds listened well, overcame their fears, and went out to the surrounding areas with good news. Third observation, and this is the big deal of Christmas, really. The importance of peace with God. The importance of peace with God. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It's for you, but ultimately it's going to be for everybody. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." For the shepherds, you come under God's sovereign choice. The angel just did not appear to everyone, but the message is for all people. This is the universal offer of the gospel, not just for Israel. There's a Messiah, there's King, there's Lord, there's a Savior. And drop down again to Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It says here, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" The angels praise God for his creation. Now the angels praise him at the beginning of a new creation. All heaven is celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the latter part of verse 14, most of the men I read say that the NIV has translated this the best: "Peace to those on whom God's favor rests." Peace to those on whom God's favor rests. That's those who by faith place their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read from Romans 5 this morning. It's a lengthy section here, but listen as I read about God's peace, the importance of peace with God that Paul delineates for us. Romans 5, first 11 verses. I know this is long, but if I tell you to go home and read it, you might not get to it, so I want to read it here. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," that's when we place our faith in Christ, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the message of the angels. "Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance," or patience. "Patience produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Verse 6, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die." And this is a great verse. "But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him by the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the ministry of reconciliation." Bottom line, resting wholly on Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. We said this a couple weeks ago, did we not? We said there's really no Christmas celebration about the cross, right? Christmas has to include the cross. And that's why we have that little card on the table with the Christmas wreath that turns into the cross, the crown, because that's what it's all about, the importance of peace with God. I don't know about you, but it causes me to pause and wonder when I hear of someone who recently died and they had nothing to do with Christ. Nothing to do. But what do they say? May they rest in peace. They're not resting in peace, okay? They always hear that. There's some rock stars died this last week. Oh, may they RIP, rest in peace. Apart from God, there, in Christ, there is no peace to the wicked. And the question we ask this morning is, where's your peace found? Where's your hope found? Are you trusting Christ and Christ alone? And I don't know all of you, but I'm hoping that if you haven't yet, you'll turn for whatever you're holding on to and place your faith in Christ while we have opportunity to do so. Number four observation, fourth observation. I want you to notice from Luke chapter 2, the proper way to celebrate Christmas. The proper way to celebrate Christmas. I have a hard time, and I've said this to you before, with mixed message Christmas music. Did I say that right? With mixed message Christian Christmas music. What I mean by that, that's Christian artists that, you know, they'll sing the first Noel, and then they'll sing, you know, what will they sing next? The Little Saint Nick, you know. I like the Beach Boys. They don't claim to be a Christian group. But biblically, our celebration of Christmas must be doxological. That's giving God all the glory, focusing on Christ, focusing on God's glory. In Luke chapter 2, 18 through 20, you're going to have to write these down maybe, there's three of many responses to the Christmas announcement. Three different ways, all right, to celebrate Christmas. Or they're not all bad here. In fact, most of them are good. Number one, or the first response, let me get this here, is in verse 18. In verse 18, here's the first response. It said, all those who heard it, that's the message of the shepherds, wondered at what the shepherds told them. First response was amazement, not faith in itself. Might be good news at first, might be a good step, but people were amazed. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe what the shepherds were telling them. They thought it was wonderful, but they never trusted Christ. All right? And it's possible to hear about Christ. It's possible to hear about Christmas and think it's a wonderful story, but never appropriate it for yourself. Got to appropriate it. There's a second response here in verse 19. We see the response of Mary. It says, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. To ponder means to treasure or to guard and protect. And Mary, as you know, responded with faith and submission from day one, a model of genuine faith. But this one doesn't make sense if you live back then, there in those days. The third response is found in 16, 17, and 20. It's the response of the shepherds, and I read that for you. It says, when they saw it, the Bethlehem scene, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. Verse 16 and 17, they went and saw this. Verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told of them. That's praise. Praise of the new community. They returned to their work more excited than ever. They would never be the same. Perhaps this is the first church, Shepherd's Fellowship, I don't know. But they knew how to celebrate Christmas. And then I want to give you one more observation, and that's this. There's an urgent responsibility, because it says here, for all the people. There's an urgent responsibility, because it says the message is for all the people. You know, Luke chapter 2, verse 9, the angel only appeared to these unknown shepherds. And yet, according to Luke 10, the angelic message of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Messiah, and King was to be for all the people. And I find it rather refreshing, and maybe you will too, that the shepherds were not commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They just were so excited by the life-changing message, they just went and told everybody. They just couldn't help it. And I don't know, Brian, how that worked. How'd you leave your sheep and just take off? But they did. They did. They could not help but get the good news out at all. These lowly, despised shepherds, of all people, became the first witnesses of the gospel. They became servants of the word. Listen to what veteran Bible teacher, Pastor Warren Wiersbe, wrote. He said, for some reason, shepherds were not permitted to testify in court, but God used some humble shepherds to be the first human witnesses that prophecy had been fulfilled and the Messiah had been born, because God delights to work through weak vessels. Solemn obligation, great privilege, great privilege. Well, what's the answer to the question, why shepherds? Why the shepherds? Well, remember that God's ways are not our ways. He works in different ways. And remember, we said several times, God just delights, and he continues to delight, to use normal, average, weak, sinful, saved vessels. That's us. That's us. Never be intimidated. Never be intimidated. God wants to use you. God is using you. I want to close by reading these verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I love these verses. 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17, Paul is reflecting on the gospel. And he's reflecting on his salvation. And remember Paul, he was going one way one day, and Christ just stopped him and redirected him. And Paul stops and says this. He says, the saying is trustworthy, and the saying deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You get that part? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he says this. He says, of whom I am the foremost. When I first read that, I thought they must have mistranslated that, because Paul is not the most foremost sinner. He was, he not is. Well, the Greek text says this is exactly right. Paul said, I am the foremost sinner. I am the chief sinner. Paul never forgot where he came from. And Paul never forgot his salvation. He says, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And then he breaks out in praise to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Bow heads and let's pray this morning. Father, we're thankful that you sovereignly, wisely use weak vessels. That's encouraging. Forgive us for being so impressed with the power people of the world, the celebrities, the famous folks, the powerful politicians, and people we think are something, when you are not impressed. And you just desire to use humble, faithful servants who are available and obedient. May we learn from these shepherds not to be impressed, to serve you while we can, and while we have opportunity to spread the gospel, particularly during this time of the year when people might be a little more open. And Father, it's always our prayer that if there's someone here this morning who has never trusted Christ, that you would give them no peace in their spirit until they flee to the cross and trust Christ and Christ alone, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.